Geologists tell us that after an earthquake, there continue to be aftershocks for days following the initial event. Aftershocks are those continuing tremors that continue after the original quake. They'll begin near the epicenter, and then they will continue to carry its impact into new areas that were never touched the first time. The Gospels tell us that when Jesus died, the skies grew dark, the earth quaked, and the world was changed. And in the days following the resurrection, there continued to be aftershocks of what the Lord had accomplished through His Son. Mary Magdalene, who encountered Jesus in the garden. Jesus appearing to His disciples in the upper room. He returned to say to Thomas the doubter, "Touch my hands, feel my side." Word began to spread that Jesus truly was risen again. New people and new places were touched and changed by the power of the gospel. After the cross, they were heartbroken. Then came the news of the empty tomb. They were rocked by the idea of a risen Christ. His followers were not sure what to do next. How do you react when God raises His Son from the dead? Luke tells us about two of those believers who unknowingly encountered Jesus on the road to Emmaus. These men were trying to make sense out of everything that had happened to them. Their world had been turned upside down, and they weren't sure where to turn next. But in that time that He spent with them, Jesus used those moments to completely change the direction of their lives. It was a spiritual aftershock that changed them forever. Today, there are a lot of people who are finding themselves on their own Emmaus Road. Their world has been turned upside down. Everything they anticipated has changed. Their faith has been rocked. They can't understand what's going on. Christian believers are discovering that they have drifted far away from the Lord and a close personal relationship with Him. Other people who believe they had everything under control have discovered that they don't have enough to get themselves through all alone. And just like long ago, people need an aftershock of the resurrection to get their lives back on track. But to get back on track, you need to know how you got off track to begin with. And the Bible says those Emmaus Road believers made three big mistakes. Their first mistake was this: I thought I knew what was going on. One of the things that confused the disciples was that nothing had turned out the way they expected it to. They had made their plans according to what they anticipated and the way they thought that the world would work around them. When they entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and they were greeted by cheering crowds, they were sure Jesus had come to be anointed king. They thought that in the days to follow, He would establish His throne and they would be an essential part of what He was doing to transform the world. Even though Jesus had repeatedly told them what was going to happen, they had never listened. What He was saying didn't fit what they wanted to hear. So they preferred not to listen to Jesus. That's the problem with a lot of people these days. They haven't wanted to listen to what Jesus is saying. You know, some people say America has become a very unspiritual place, but I don't think I agree with that. I think we are more spiritual than ever in America. We're just spiritual in a very unhealthy way. That is to say, we want to define our personal spirituality by our own terms and not by the Lord's terms. When you look around yourself in America today, you find that a number of people have embraced all sorts of false religions. Some of them are those standard religions that have existed for a long time, but a lot of other people are buying into new religions and new ways of believing things. Some people have embraced new teachings about what it means to call yourself spiritual. Christian believers have drifted just as well. We began thinking that we were free to define the Christian faith our own way rather than the Lord's way. We decided, I'll decide for myself what it means to be a Christian. And there's some things Jesus said to do, but I choose not to do them. And there's some things Jesus said not to do, but I think I'll do that anyway, because after all, I can make up my own kind of Christian faith. But God calls us to a consistent Christian belief. Read an article in a national news magazine not long ago, and the reporter was talking about evangelical Christians, and he referred to a Christian extremist as someone who believed you had to have a personal relationship with Jesus or you were going to go to hell when you die. But you know, according to God's word, that's not a description of an extremist. That's a description of a biblically grounded believer. The reporter's attitude reflects what happens when you decide to ignore the Lord and make up a Christianity that feels better to you. The Emmaus Road believers were confused because God had not acted the way they thought He should have, and they didn't know how to respond. There was a second mistake that they made there on the Emmaus Road, and it was simply this: I heard. As He walked with these two believers, Jesus asked them why they were so sad, and one of them replied this way: Are you the only one in Jerusalem who has not heard about what has happened? And the two of them described the crucifixion and how some women had said they talked to angels and how the apostles said the tomb was empty. And as they spoke, it was obvious they had information, but no firsthand experience. Everything that they were talking about and the way that they were carrying out their lives said, I've heard about something, I just don't know it. Not for myself. And they were satisfied to settle for what they had been told. Their problem was simply this: faith once removed is still removed. If it's not real to you, it really doesn't matter what you've heard. There's nothing firsthand about a once removed faith. People thought it was enough to follow Jesus from a distance. And now they're discovering that it is their distance from Christ that is breaking their heart. So many believers today thought, as long as I have some sort of casual connection with Christ, that's all I really need. I'll settle for what I've heard. I don't need to talk about what has happened to me. And now they're discovering that that distance from Christ is a terrible thing. It always has been, but I think in times of crisis, people realize even more, I'm a long way from God, and I need to get back to where I belong. A faith you only hear about is not the faith you need to experience. Then there was a third mistake, and it was simply this: I believed. These men were sincere believers. They told Him, we were hoping it was He who was going to redeem Israel. They were confused because God had not kept His promise the way they expected that He would. It reminds me of this: you can believe, sincerely believe, and still be off track. Sometimes I hear people who attempt to sell the idea that believing is all that really matters, that if you just believe enough, then whatever it is you're hoping will happen, whatever it is you wish for, whatever it is you anticipate, will come true. They'll say something like this: you just believe it. You just believe it with all your heart. You just believe it with everything that's within you. You believe and it will happen. That may be what you've heard, but it's not true. It's a long way from the prayer that Jesus prayed in the garden Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus reminds us that it's about God's will in our lives. It's not about what we believe. It's about whether we believe correctly. And if you're wise, that's when you listen to one voice, the voice of Jesus. And that's what happened to those Emmaus believers. The Bible says, as he walked with them along the road, he began to speak. And as he began to speak, they began to listen. And Jesus told them the things they needed to hear. He told them, here's where you went wrong. The Bible says, then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered those things and enter into his glory? Jesus confronted the falsehood that they had accepted. He exposed the lie. He revealed the truth. He said, don't you understand? This is exactly what I always said was going to take place. This is what God has promised through his word, through all of the prophets. He revealed to them, this is what God has always been about. And you went wrong when you decided to step away from what God was truly saying in his word and to decide to make up for yourself the faith you wanted to believe. That's what we need from the Lord. We need him to show us what went wrong. In your life today, if you find I have drifted far away from him, in your life today, if you've thought I never needed him, but boy, I have found out how much I did, we need to hear from the Lord. And he needs to show us this is where you've gone wrong in your life. These are the things you believe that you should never have accepted. These are the things you've said, and they were not true. These are the things you've done, and you'll never find your way to God as long as you're involved in those things. We need him to show us the truth. You know, nobody wants a doctor who's not going to tell them what he knows. You're not looking for a doctor who says to you, if you don't want to know your problem, then I won't tell you because it'll only upset you. You don't want a doctor who's going to say, I would rather hide it from you than tell you what you really need to know. What you want is a doctor who will say, here's your condition, this is the disease, and this is what I'm going to do to help make you well again. And that's exactly what we need from the Lord. We don't need the Lord to say to us, just think what you want to think, do what you want to do, live like you want to live, even though it's drawing you far away from me, and even though there are eternal consequences to your decisions. Instead, you should hunger for the spiritual surgery that the Holy Spirit of Jesus can do in your life. Let me tell you what you need to do this morning. You need to decide, I refuse to not listen to the Lord. You need to say to yourself, I will not put anything in my life off limits to him. I need to put everything on the line. We need to pray the prayer that the Bible reveals in Psalm 139, where David prayed, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the everlasting way. What was David saying? David was saying, here it is. It's all laid out in front of you. I want you to tell me the truth. I want you to search me out. I want you to search out the secret places of my heart. I want you to show me the things I'm not even willing to look at myself so that I can make my life right with you. And so Jesus said to those Emmaus believers, here's where you went wrong. Next, Jesus told them, and here is what God says. I think it's compelling that Jesus did not instantly reveal himself. I think if I were writing the story, maybe if you were writing the story, that's what would have happened. He would have walked up upon them and they would have instantly known, it's the Lord. But instead, he kept himself disguised from them. Why did he do that? Well, I think one reason was this, because before he revealed himself, he wanted to take them to Scripture. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Before you see me, I want you to understand this is what God says about all of this. And the Bible says he went back to the very beginning. As they walked down the road, he walked through the law and the prophets and everything that the Bible had to say about himself. He wanted them to understand from the Word of God that all of this has been about fulfilling God's plan to seek and to save that which was lost. When you get off track, the first thing you need is to know what God says. Not what you want to think, not what somebody else says to you. All that matters is this: thus saith the Lord. The reason the Lord gave us His Word is to get us on track and to keep us on track. Let me challenge you to something. If you want your spiritual life to be instantly richer, this is all you have to do. Make a simple decision. When God reveals something to me in the Bible, I'm going to do it. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to apply it. I'm going to live my life consistently with it. If God shows me something, then I'm going to say, that is His Word, and it comes first in my life. Here's what God says. And then finally, Jesus showed them, here I am. They came to their destination. Jesus was prepared to go further until they invited him in. And as he blessed the food, he revealed himself to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. It was an aftershock of the resurrection. Jesus was personally interested in them. Jesus was reaching out to them as Savior to follower. He showed them who he was. And suddenly they knew, it's the Lord. What God is calling on you to do in your own personal Emmaus Road is simply to do this. If your life is off track and you've lost sight of the Lord, if you don't know how you've gotten so far away from Jesus, but you know you're far away from Jesus, if you've been trusting yourself or anybody else to help you deal with the aftershocks of things that have been happening to you, there are four things you need to do. Number one, you need to admit that you have lost sight of Him. If you've drifted from the Lord, if you've never known Him before, the first thing you've got to do is honestly confess, I'm not where I need to be spiritually. I have allowed my life to drift away from Christ Jesus. I've invited things into my life that are not pleasing to Him. I have lived my life by standards that are not His standards. And I'm a long way from the Lord. The second thing you need to do, invite Him to join you right where you are. As Jesus ministered to those men on the Emmaus Road, He did not wait until they arrived at the destination to begin to teach. It was all along the way. From the moment they invited Him to join them, He began to teach them and guide them and change them. And that's what He wants to do with you. This morning, you need to invite Him to join you right where you are. Don't ever say to the Lord, wait until I've straightened out my life. Wait until I've cleaned things up. Wait until I've gotten myself back on track. Wait, and when I've got everything right, then you join me. Instead, what you say is this: Lord, I need you right here, right now, right where I am. I recognize the places where I'm not where I ought to be. I recognize the sins I've allowed into my life. I recognize the failure that's a part of who I've become. And right here, right now, Lord Jesus, come and join me in the places of my life where you need to make me right again. Come and help make me whole. The third thing you need to do is simply this: turn everything over to Him. One of the mistakes that so many people make is to simply think, you know, I can invite Christ to join me in my life and I'll choose which parts of my life I want him to be a part of. I can set aside the holy part, but I can also reserve for myself the unholy things that I don't really want to let go of. And we can say to him, you can be part of who I am, but I don't want you to be part of all I am. But the Lord demands that you turn everything over to him. Nothing held back. You know, it may seem that the Lord's a little bit intolerant, and maybe he is, but he says to every human heart, with me it is all or nothing. If you hold anything back, you can't have a part of me. And if you find yourself on your own Emmaus Road, if you've been shaken by the aftershocks of the earthquakes that have happened in your life, you need to know it's time to turn everything back over to Jesus. And then the fourth thing is simply this. And you listen to what he says to you. Make time in his word. Make time to stop and pray. Make time for him to speak to you. And as he speaks, say to yourself, I will do whatever he tells me to do. You know, the Bible says that when those Emmaus believers recognized Jesus, then suddenly he was gone. But he was still with them. And he would be with them for a lifetime, not in a visible way. But he dwelled in their hearts and he changed their lives, and they would never be the same again because they had had an encounter with Jesus. And that's still what he does today. So I ask you this morning, have you had a personal encounter with Jesus? Has there come that time in your life when you turned everything over to him? Maybe today you're watching this and the truth is you don't know Christ, not in a personal way. You've known a lot about him. Maybe you've known, kept him at a distance, but you've never one time said to him, forgive my sins. Come into my life and make me new. If that's true, then today you need to turn your life over to Jesus. You need to pray this prayer. God, I know that I've been apart from you. Father, I realize my life is not what it ought to be, and I know that without Jesus, it never will be. So today, I invite you into my life. Be my Savior. Come and be my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you're watching today as a believer and you recognize that on this Emmaus Road experience that you've been going through, you've realized just how casual you've become about your faith. You've realized the Lord is not nearly as close to me as I need to be because I haven't been close to him. Maybe today is the day when you say to him, Lord Jesus, come and be Lord. Show me what I need to see. Tell me what I need to hear. Change what you need to change. I hold nothing back from you. I belong to you. If that's you, let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, today we recognize as believers sometimes our faith has become so casual. Father, we have begun to think that we're the ones who set the terms of being in a right relationship with you. But Father, your terms have never changed. And your call on our lives is a call to surrender and obedience. So today we simply say, be Lord again. In everything in my life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you've prayed those prayers or if you've thought about those things, then in just a moment, as we sing an invitation hymn, this is your chance to pray that prayer. Not to put it off for another time and not to say, I'm going to think about it, but simply to say, I have decided I will follow Jesus. God bless you.